Last time we were talking about the necessity of miracles, and actually if we look through the Bible, and especially through the Gospels and the Book of Acts, we can see that one of the most common miracles done by Jesus and his apostles and disciples that who believe in him are actually the miracles of healing, you know, supernatural healing touch of God and being able to heal people. And if we look at a story that happened in Matthew, I would propose that actually healing should be more common in the church and should be more common in the world than what we experience now in 21st century America, or in fact even in anywhere in the world. Why? Because according to that story, healing belongs to God's children. So let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21 and 28, and see that story. What happened in that story. So this is Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So we can see that actually, you know, this is talking about deliverance and talking about healing, deliverance from demon possession. And we will deal with this later, but a quick idea is actually healing is not just physical healing, which includes physical healing, but healing is more of the completeness, the wholeness of the person. You know, the Hebrew word shalom, and usually translated as peace, you know, the God of peace, God of shalom, it's actually could be also translated God of wholeness or completeness. So it's actually the completeness of the person. As a Christian, we should be living in shalom, wholeness, not in sickness, physical sickness, not in any mental sickness, you know, and any depression, emotional sickness, depression, anger, bitterness, none of those. Not and definitely not in spiritual sickness, that we have a relationship, we have a unhindered relationship with God. So it's a wholeness of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wholeness. That's what, you know, Christ did and what Christ won for us on the cross. But before we go into that, and we'll deal with that in more details, I want to talk about, you know, the idea where Jesus was saying, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," where some people may misread this and think that, you know, Jesus just, the salvation is just for the Jews. Well, actually, if we think about the situation at that time, you know, that makes what Jesus said makes more sense, because Jesus at that time, he was only a person limited in space and time. He couldn't go, you know, worldwide, nationwide. In fact, you know, there's no airplanes that he can, you know, just fly, you know, 16, 15 hours to another country and start preaching the gospel. You know, when he was there, you know, his main transportation is actually just, you know, by foot, walking. And there's no way, you know, he could accomplish what he did if he, you know, if his purpose while he was there physically was to reach the whole world. There's no TV, you know, there's no, CNN that could broadcast his message. There's no, you know, radio that you know, he could speak and people from another nation could hear it. You know, he was limited by his physical, you know, place or wherever he is. So, when he was talking about, you know, "I was not sent except to the lost of the house of Israel," that's, you know, because of just common sense. You know, there's the communication time during the time of Jesus. You know, it's only limited. So, you know, that's his focus. However, the salvation is not only limited to Israel. In fact, if we turn to the book of Romans, we can see the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles or to the non-Jewish people, where he says, you know, let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul is talking about, you know, the salvation. This is Romans 1, verse 16, that Paul is saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek," or meaning also for the Gentiles. So yes, Paul is saying, yes, there is a matter of, not priority, but a matter of a sequence, where, yes, you know, salvation came to the Jews first, and that's Jesus' commission from the Father, is to reach the Jews first, although he did touch many Gentiles on the way. But, you know, salvation is for the Jews first, then also for the Gentiles. In fact, this is one of the great mysteries that Paul is talking about, you know, about the gospel. And in Romans 11, Paul also said, you know, just turn, you know, a few chapters down. Romans 11, Paul is talking about, you know, when we as Gentile believers believe in Jesus, we will be grafted into, you know, the house of God, you know, meaning the physical house, or the Israel, we are branches grafted into the root that, you know, that is, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So we can see that as believers, we are actually, as Gentile believers, we, God will graft us in into the, you know, becoming a people of God. Let me just do a little sidetrack here and say that, you know, as Christians, we should have a high regard for the Jewish nation and for the Jewish state. In fact, in the Old Testament, you know, God says, "Blessed are God told Abraham, you know, blessed are those who blesses you. I will bless those who bless you." So, you know, as Christians, we should, you know, seek the peace and safety of Jerusalem, because God, you know, blesses those who blesses the nation of Israel. And, you know, in fact, if we keep on reading the whole chapter of Romans, you know, as Gentile believers, we should hold high regard to, you know, to our Jewish roots through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in fact, also our Jewish brethren right now. So that's just a side thing, but, you know, we as Christians should have a high regard for the Jewish nation. You know, God did not and will not forget the Jewish nation, and in fact, you know, he will. Just the whole book of Romans is actually dealing with this idea. It's actually not the main idea. The main idea is, you know, that salvation is by faith and not by works. But included in that is that also Israel is still God's beloved, and we have been grafted in. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul once again says that, you know what, all the promises that are given to Israel, we can access, we Gentiles believer can access it, you know, because we are in Christ, and all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. This is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And Jesus himself actually also says that in John 10:16, that he has other sheep, meaning that, you know, sheep who are not in the, who are not Jewish, sheep who are not in his then commission to the house of Israel, that he wants to bring into the fold, and these sheep will also hear his voice, as similar to, you know, the Jewish people who heard his voice and believed in him. So this is what Jesus said in John 10:16, where he says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So Jesus is foreshadowing the idea of, you know, the Gentiles being grafted into the, you know, the Jewish root, or the Jewish trunk that is supported by the root of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the idea, you know, at this time is that, you know, Jesus is not being in a way, you know, exclusive to the Jewish nation only, but because of his physical limitation, because he's human at that time, where he cannot, you know, just beam himself to other places, or you know, speak, and then radios or televisions were transmitted to other places at that time, because, you know, being human, God's main purpose for Jesus is to preach the gospel to the house of Israel. However, after his ascension, where the Holy Spirit is, you know, given to all believers, then, you know, the gospel first to the Jews, then to the Greeks, or then to the Gentiles. And the second thing I want to deal with is what I've been talking about before, that healing is about wholeness. Healing is not limited to physical healing, although that is one of the more common ones that we see in the Bible. And, you know, and I believe that it's also something that we should be able to see in our current world, because, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, if he healed when he was here on earth, the body of Christ, the church, you know, being a representative of Christ, should also still see healing today. And let's turn back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, where Matthew was talking, or was writing, and he says, "When evening had come, many people they brought to him, to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Once again, we can see that, you know, casting out demons and the healing of the sick were actually linked together, and actually based upon the passage that Matthew used, where he's quoting Isaiah the prophet, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness." Matthew is actually linking the idea of healing and deliverance, casting out demons, to salvation, because he is quoting from Isaiah 53. And this is actually a direct quote from Isaiah 53, and this whole passage of Isaiah 53 is the idea of the suffering servant, or actually of the Messiah. So let's turn to Isaiah 53, and if you read the whole chapter, you can see that there is a prophetic chapter talking about, you know, what Jesus went through, his suffering. You know, Isaiah 53 verse 4 is what Matthew quoted, talking about Jesus taking away our sicknesses and our illness and casting out demons from us. And then if you, you know, just keep on reading, let's just jump a few verses down, where verse 7 is talking about, you know, Jesus being the Lamb of God, you know, the sacrificial Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. And if you just keep on jumping down again in verse 10, you can see that I'm just quoting verse Isaiah 53 verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him," meaning to bruise Jesus, "he has put him to grief. When you," meaning God, "make his soul," Jesus' soul, "an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So you can see in verse 10, it's talking about Jesus becoming a sin offering for us. So this whole chapter, chapter 53, verse 1 to verse 12, is talking about Jesus, and talking mainly about him being the Lamb of God, him being our sin offering to God, so that, you know, we can be cleansed of our sin. And in the while talking about, you know, Jesus is our sin, talking about, you know, offering, Jesus is our sin offering, he mentioned that Jesus is also the one who takes away our sin, our sufferings and our illnesses. So we can see that there is a link between what Jesus did on the cross and healing, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, and deliverance, casting out demons, casting out, you know, the oppression from demons. It's all accomplished by Jesus on the cross. So this is the idea that I want to tell or impart upon to those who are listening to this message today, is that, you know what, healing is the children's bread. You know, it's not something special. It's not, you know, some special food or some good food that we can only eat once a year, or you know, twice a year. However, it's just the children spread what Jesus is saying. It's common. You know, it belongs to the children. It is done. We have the basis for our healing, you know, because of what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, Jesus won our salvation spiritually, but also on the cross, he took away our illness, our sicknesses, and he also, you know, gave us authority over demonic oppression and then, you know, even demonic possession. So we have much more authority and much more power available to us than what I believe we see in the churches in the Western world today, where healing should be more common, because Jesus is saying it's the children's bread, where you know, casting out demons should be more common. And in fact, if we go to a third world countries, we can see many, you know, Christians there, you know, showing the power of God over all the, you know, witchcraft that's occurring there, and over all the demonic possession that's occurring there. But likewise, what's true in the third world countries is also true in our first world countries in the Western world, where the church should rise up and you know, show the world that yes, God is still God, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still heals because of what he did on the cross. So let's go back to, you know, Matthew chapter 15, and that's still with the last part of this story, where, you know, where Jesus says it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Well, we deal with the fact that healing is the children's bread, but many people get stumped on the idea where Jesus start calling people dogs. Hey, wait a minute, you know, what's Jesus doing? Why is he calling this woman, who is not from the house of Israel apparently, who is, you know, a Gentile? Why is he calling her a little dog? You know, no matter how you say it, you know, it's still sort of derogatory. But this points out to a third idea that we can learn from this parable, the idea of not being offended by Jesus, but having the idea of being persistent in prayer and perseverance in prayer. You know, although it seems that we are being that our prayers are not being answered, but we should keep on persisting and persevering in our prayers. In fact, this is a teaching by Jesus himself. Let's turn to, you know, the previous chapter, Matthew 14, verse 14, where Jesus, the reason he healed is based upon his compassion. You know, where Jesus saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So one thing that, you know, this woman knew is that he knew who Jesus is. He knew the nature of Jesus. He's, you know, she's saying that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you call me, but I know you are a God of compassion. You are a compassionate person. And I'm going to keep on asking you and keep on asking you because I know your nature. I know you are a God of compassion, and you're a God of mercy, and you want, and you know, as we keep on coming to you, you will answer our prayers, especially prayers that are prayed according to your nature. And healing is part of God's nature, that he is a God who heals us. And this idea is actually very similar to what the parable that Jesus spoke about in Luke 11, where he's talking about, let's just turn to Luke 11, verse 5 to 9, where he's teaching his disciples about prayer. In fact, you know, Luke verse 11, verse 1 to 4 is actually the Lord's Prayer, where many of us actually knows how to memorize it. But Luke 11, 5 to 9, this is what Jesus said. And he said to them, meaning Jesus said to his disciples, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and said, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give to you.'" And, you know, Jesus is ending this with his teaching in verse 8. "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So Jesus is teaching about prayer, and he's also showing them the need for persistent prayer, for persevering prayer. It doesn't matter what the circumstances seems like. It doesn't matter what, you know, what even what people are talking are telling you. You know, people may call you crazy, may call you, out of your mind. But you know, you're still going to keep on persisting in your prayer because you know this is the nature of God, that He is a compassionate God, and He wants to bring healing to you, and He is willing to bring healing to you. So this is what Jesus is teaching, and this is basically the idea that this woman in Syrophoenician woman, the Gentile woman who got this idea in Matthew 15, and she knows this idea, and that's why she is persistent, and her persistence actually brought on and caught Jesus' attention, where Jesus said, "Oh woman, you are, you know, a woman of great faith," and then he answered her prayer. So we can see that healing belongs to the children, and because we know that healing belongs to children, it gives us more more authority and more perseverance in order to keep on praying. If we pray once and we didn't see the healing, we won't just stop and say, okay, apparently God doesn't want to heal, and that's it. No, because we know that healing is part of the children's bread, that now we can keep on praying and praying and praying until we see the answer, or until God answers us and says, either says, okay, I'll heal this person, or until God says, you know, there's a reason why this person isn't healed. But we need to keep on persevering in prayer until, you know, God answers us. So having said this, I want to end this time with just praying for people, especially those who need, you know, to be made whole. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time, and thank you for reminding us, Lord, that healing should be more common in this world, because healing is the children's bread, and because we have believed in you, Lord, you have grafted us into becoming your children, and Lord, we have the authority and the blessing of being your children and enjoying all the promises that you have given in the Bible, because all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and we are in Christ Jesus. So Lord, therefore right now, Lord, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message, Lord, that those who are sick, either physically, or, you know, they have a need emotionally or mentally, or even physical need, you know, in terms of, you know, health or money or anything, Lord, that, Lord, they will run to you, Lord, and we will come together, you know, in prayer and asking you, Lord, that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth your blessing, your healing blessing, your, prosperity blessings upon your people, Lord, and actually all your blessings upon your people. Lord, those who are sick, Lord, you'll stretch out your hand and heal them. And those who have any need, Lord, you'll stretch out your hand and provide for them. For you are our healer, and you are also our provider. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.